Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Started a series on the keys of the kingdom last week. Preached on the thought the church has lost their keys. And this week we want to preach on getting back the keys. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. We'll go ahead and reread our scripture text for this series, and then we'll get on into it. Once you've found it, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Last week we talked about Jesus giving the church the keys and how that he didn't give them just to take them back. And we addressed two questions. The first one being, why did the church lose the keys to begin with? And number two, how do we get them back? And we went into the second one just a little bit, but we're going to go into it a whole lot more this morning with the help of the Lord. We're going to get into these keys. But first, before we do that, I just want to say in verse 18, where Jesus is speaking to Peter, he says, "Thou art Peter." And that is that word Peter in the Greek is translated Petros. Petros, and it means like a stone or a rock. But then he says, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That word rock there is translated different. It's translated in the Greek Petra, which means a mountain or a cleft. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to use you, Peter, because you're a stone. But I'm going to build my church on this mountain, that being myself." And he knew that Peter would get the ball rolling, so to speak. So I just wanted to go into that for some clarification, and just in case anybody was confused by that. But getting on now into these keys of the kingdom. And I read them off to you last week, and I told you we'd get into them. Just want to recap real quick and read them off again, and then we'll go from there. The first key, there's six of them here. And the first key is the key of heavenly delegation. The second one is the key of authoritative distribution. The third one is the one that Jesus doubled down on, the key of binding and loosening. The fourth key is the key of proxy, known as the key of proxy. Number five, the key of doctrine, also known as knowledge. And then number six, the key of discipline. So first and foremost, let me just say that Jesus is the master key. Without him, none of this works. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Amen. So this first key is the key of delegation. What does that mean? It is the power pertaining to the kingdom of heaven that was delegated straight from Jesus Christ himself to us, to the church. And again, if you'll notice Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19 that we just read, I want to read it one more time because this proves that he gave it to the church as well, not just to his disciples. He said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say, "I will build Peter." He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee," the church, the disciples, every believer, "the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So what is this key of delegation? What about it? Well, first and foremost, it is a spiritual power. And that being the reason, it's not secular or civil or anything like that. Because if you remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is what? Not of this world." Therefore, it is spiritual. It is not a tangible power like we would see in the courts or some civil matter, but it is pertaining to the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Now, this next part I want to say, and it might throw some of you, but if you'll stick with me, you'll see what I mean by it. The key of delegation is also a militant power. When we think of the military, they are deployed to accomplish something, to carry out a mission, and to complete that mission. The church was deployed by Jesus Christ in Mark 16:15 to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we'll just refer to that as Mission 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's our mission, to go out and in a militant power, again, spiritually speaking, that we can take the gospel to the world. This key of delegation is also, they are the spiritual laws of the kingdom of God, which are at Jesus Christ's disposal and now at the disposal of the church through the power of his name. The church has been fully made aware of all the apostolical ministerial powers that were discharged by Jesus Christ. And so we're going to get into more of these spiritual laws here in just a little bit. We'll come back to that. But those are the aspects of the keys of delegation. Now, I want to move on into the key of authoritative distribution. The key of authoritative distribution is the custom of investing authority to men, thus giving them the keys to a particular place, area, or region. And in our case, that would be the evangelism of the world. So we're given authority by Christ over these areas. He has delegated to us these keys, and now we're going to use this key of distribution to get it out there. In biblical times, the master of the house would give his keys to the steward in his absence, and that steward was invested with authority through the name of that master, Brother Eddie, to make sure that everybody in the house had exactly what they needed. It was his job in the absence of the master to act on his behalf and be able to carry out the distribution of those things. Think of it this way. When here in the United States, when the president has to leave the country on business, he leaves his vice president in charge to carry out the business in his name. And so this is a very wide area, very vast ministry on many different levels. We could just two that come to mind right away. Our missionary work. Missionaries go, they're worldwide, and they distribute to people's needs, whether it be food or drink or clothing or what have you, but they also minister, Brother Eddie, to the spiritual needs as well. Here in our own backyard, we have many missions. One of my cousins has a church called New Birth Missions, and he does the same thing. They make sure people have food, they make sure they've got clothes, but they also minister to them the Word of God. So very different levels, and there's so many that we could probably go around the room and name here this morning. But the key of authoritative distribution, he gives us the authority to do that. Which brings us to the third key, and as I said, this is the one that Jesus doubled down on, is the key of binding and loosening. And the power of this key is invested to the believer to do the following: to bind, to loosen, to open, to shut, to set at liberty by that which has been discharged through the authoritative name of Jesus Christ. So we'll look at these two words, bind and loose. In the Greek, the word bind is deo, and it has two meanings. Number one, it means, and I love this definition, it means to bind, tie, fasten, or throw into chains. One of these days, Brother Jason, old Splitfoot's going to be thrown into chains. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's got a lot of people in his own chains right now, Brother Jeff, but one day God's going to return the favor and put them on him. But then there's a second definition to this word bind, and it means to put under the obligation of the law of God through and by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I told you I was going to get back to the law, spiritual laws. There are two basic sets of laws that we know of. There's the laws that govern humanity. Those are a vast amount of laws that tells us what we can do and what we can't do. But there's also spiritual laws that govern those in the spiritual realm. It has nothing to do with humanity. We're not bound to those laws. They're not bound to ours. Two separate accounts altogether. In fact, if you go to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 4 through 22, we're given an account there of where Jehoshaphat meets up with King Ahab, and Ahab's trying to talk him into joining his campaign to go down to Ramoth-Gilead to win the battle. And so those of you that are familiar with the story, or those of you that are not, rather, King Jehoshaphat, he says, yeah, that's fine. He says, you know, we got the same game plan in mind here, but there's one thing I need to do. We need to consult the Lord first and see what the Lord has to say about it. Well, the thing that most people don't realize is in those days, King Ahab had a bad reputation for his so-called prophets. He had like 400 false prophets, and they always prophesied just what he wanted to hear. And so he called those 400 prophets in, and every one of them with one accord said, yes, go up, for the Lord's given you the victory. Well, that didn't set good with King Jehoshaphat. He knew the reputation there, Brother Jeff. He said, is there never another prophet in all the land besides these that we may consult the Lord whether or not we should go up to Ramoth Gilead? He's like, well, there's this one man, but I hate him. He said, I hate him. He said, he never prophesies anything but evil against me. And his name was Micaiah. Well, long story short, the king sent one of his messengers to get Micaiah. And while this was going on, King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat dressed in their kingly robes, and they had a makeshift throne for each of them outside of the city gates, and they set up, and all the people were gathering around. As this messenger goes to retrieve Micaiah, the prophet Micaiah, he stops him on the way, Brother Jeff, and he threatens him, and he says, now look, all these other prophets have prophesied well for the king. You do the same. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, I'll only prophesy what God puts in my mouth. So they bring him before King Ahab. And King Ahab says, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead or shall we not go? And now, Micaiah also knew about these false prophets, that they had a reputation. And so he's being a little facetious here because he also knows that the king thinks that he hates his guts. So he says, yes, he says, go up. The victory's yours, no problem. And so the king's like, wait a minute. He looks at Jehoshaphat. He says, see what I mean? I can't get a straight answer out of this guy. And so finally, he looks at him, he says, you're going to fall. If you go up, you're going to fall. He said, I looked, and the Lord showed me in the kingdom of heaven, God was seated on his throne, and all the host of heaven was surrounded around about him on the left hand and on the right hand. And he said, God asked the question to those that were with him in this meeting. He said, how shall we get Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead and fall dead? And in other words, lose the battle. And the Bible says that one rose up on this side and spoke on this manner, and another one rose up on this side and spoke on that manner. And then a spirit came up from behind and says, I know how to get him to fall. And God said, okay, how is that? He said, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets. And God said, you will prevail. That will work. He said, now go and make sure you see that through. Now, I bring that story from Kings into play for one reason. I shared that story with my brother years ago and it completely blew his mind. He about lost his salvation over that. But I told him, I said, David, you got to understand something. There's two separate sets of laws. There's one set of laws that governs us that says, the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. We know we're not supposed to lie. I said, but then there's another set of laws that governs the spiritual. It has nothing to do with us. How many knows that God can do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants? If God can use a donkey, if he can use a rooster, if he can use all these things to accomplish his will, who are we to question any of that? So anyway, it was carried out just like the prophet Micaiah had said. They went up and he ended up falling in the battle. But sometimes, and I'll just say this and move on, many times actually, those that are in the minority are the ones you want to listen to. Because if you follow scripture from the Old Testament to the New, the majority was almost always wrong. In fact, you'd be hard pressed to find one instance where the majority was right. You look at all the examples in the Bible, Brother Jeff, where God used just a little to accomplish a lot. So God is not looking for man to receive glory for anything. So those two separate laws govern everything. So once again, the word bind in the Greek means to tie, to fasten, or to throw into chains. It also means to put under the obligation of the law of God. Now, what about the word loose? The word loose is translated aluo, and it means to loosen, undo, dissolve, and declare unlawful any person or thing that has been tied or fastened by the chains of the devil. I want to read that one more time because that's powerful. To loosen means to undo, to dissolve, to declare unlawful any person or thing that has been tied or fastened by the chains of the devil. That's the power that we have in the name of Jesus. And again, I just want to stress, in the name of Jesus. So many so-called churches today have gotten out of that. They've run amok in their own doctrines, Brother Dennis. They've made up their own. They've twisted scripture to suit what they want, and they've left the name of Jesus out of things. We can do nothing unless we do it through the authoritative and powerful name of Jesus. So that is the key of binding and loosening. Then we go to the key of proxy. The key of proxy is the power which Christ has promised to every believer to own the due administration as though he himself were ministering right there where we're at. That's what proxy means. So many times we pray in proxy, we'll have a person come up, say Brother Jason, and we'll anoint him on behalf of Brother Rick Southwood. That means he's standing in proxy because Brother Rick can't be here. And so we are Jesus Christ's ambassadors. He is within us in a state of proxy. Everything, again, we do, Brother Eddie, has to be done in the powerful name of Jesus. We can do nothing outside of the Lord. Mark 16:20, and there's two scriptures I want to give here that proves this fact about the whole proxy thing. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, here it is, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, here's how he confirmed it, with signs following. And then in Acts 11:21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So again, the Lord working with them through them. Then we come to the key of doctrine. Now, the key of doctrine, as I told you last week, is also known as the key of knowledge. And with this key, one is able to explain to the world what is the will of God, both to truth and also, and this is important, to the duty of man. How many knows that Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is what? The whole duty of man, to fear God and to keep his commandments. And so Christ through us utilizes all of the gifts, talents, and abilities that he's placed within us to carry out those things, whether it be commissions or using our credentials. But we have the full instruction of the word of God by the powerful name of Jesus Christ to both bind and to loosen. You've heard me talk about this before, but it all boils back down to symbolic action. And symbolic action, just to refresh your memory, is that action which, when offered in obedience, okay, that's important, creates a transaction in the spiritual or heavenly dimensions. Once that transaction has been made, it then manifests itself here in the natural. One more time. Symbolic action is that action on our part which, when offered in or through obedience, creates a transaction in the spiritual dimensions and then manifests itself here in the natural. So that's what we're talking about by these keys of binding and loosening. In biblical times, the common speech of the Jews concerning these things empowered a person to both prohibit or to permit. Now, hopefully I don't lose some of you on this, but I'm giving you Bible, so you're going to have to swallow it, whether it's bad medicine or good. It also gave him the authority to teach or declare a thing to be unlawful. And by doing that, that was what they referred to as binding. And at the same time, to teach if it was lawful, which means to loose. As well, in those days, the scriptures were written, as you know, on scrolls, and these scrolls were tied with a string. So when they would take the string off, that symbolized opening. But when they put the string back on the scroll, that symbolized shutting. And Christ, as we know, gave the power to both his disciples and the church to open and shut doors concerning the gospel, whether or not we're going to permit it to people or not. And people say, now, wait a minute, I thought the gospel was for the whole world. Yes and no. Yes and no. You're already looking at me funny. Let me show you what Jesus said. In Mark 6:11, he said, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. For verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Are you with me so far? Okay. So when ministers preach the message of pardon and peace, It's being preached to those, Brother Dennis, who has a true repentive heart. However, when they're preaching wrath and a curse, it's to the impotent, those who do not have a repentant heart. And in this, through Christ's name, they are in perfect congruence, or we are in perfect congruence with the authority of the binding and loosening according to his word. So the key of doctrine is very important. And this, is, unfortunately, is where a majority of the church world has gotten off track. They've left the doctrine of God for the doctrines of man. And it's a sad, sad tale. Brings us to the key of discipline. Now, these work hand in hand. Discipline is but the application of the key of doctrine that we just talked about to those who have been deemed righteous and their characters and actions are in accordance with God. Now, you got to understand something, that this key of discipline is not a legislative power. Let me explain that. In our own government, you got a legislative branch and you got a judicial branch. Well, the judicial branch does not make the law. The legislative branch makes the law. The judicial branch just carries that out. And they enforce what's already been made. Okay? So I just wanted to put that out there. So it is not a legislative power, but a judicial power, as the judge does not make the law, but he just declares what the law is. And upon an impartial inquiry, give you an example of someone maybe who committed a sin, they look into the merits of that person, the alleged transgressor, and then the minister of God will pronounce a sentence by and through the preaching of the word of God. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 20, Jesus said, it summed it up the best. He said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So again, we're not judging the salvation part. Amen. We're judging the law part that God has made. Finally, the ministers of God have the power. And here's the part I was talking about that probably might lose some of you. They have the power to admit into the church as well as to expel or cast out. For whatever reason, and I've got them in my own family, Brother Dennis, some of them find it appalling, the thought that somebody would be kicked out of a church. But that's the way the original church was set up. They didn't allow certain things to go on, especially if a person was a professing brother or sister. If you are a professing Christian, a believer of God, and what I'm getting ready to read to you here, if you were guilty of these things, these men, as well as today, even though most churches, pastors don't preach this, has the power to kick somebody out of the church. Okay? That's not Jimmy, that's the word of God. So let's look at that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Thessalonica church, and he says, "Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." And then he kind of doubles down really in the book of Corinthians. He says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." And I tell you what, and before I read on with this, the church world today should be ashamed of itself, because this is running rampant in the churches everywhere. Little Sally gets impregnated by some boy and they're not married. What do? We throw a baby shower. We celebrate that. That should be shamed. Now, I know that baby's got to be taken care of. Yes, we got to make sure that baby's taken care of. But the person that committed that stuff, they should know that what they did was wrong. But unfortunately, so many people's just patting it on the back. He says, "It's been reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up about it, and have not rather mourned that he that hath committed this deed might be taken away from you, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be one of the following: a fornicator, a covetous person, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, do not even eat with them. But them that are without, in other words, them that are without the church, God judges them. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What that scripture means is God's going to hold the ministers accountable for what they're allowing to go on in the churches. Sadly, not only do these things go on in the churches, but many of these pastors put them right up in their pulpits. People who are professing homosexuals, people who are professing transgender, where they've had their sex change. They've got them up leading the praise and worship. Some of them got them in the pulpit trying to preach the word. That's an oxymoron. How can you preach something you're living against? These are the days that we are living in. And these are the things that God is not going to continue to wink at. I'm talking about the keys of the kingdom, getting them back into the church the way that they ought to be. Now, what do these keys signify? Number one, they signify access. Access to what? The unsearchable riches of the kingdom of heaven. That could be anything from salvation to healing, or casting out of devils, of raising the dead, everything in between. All the promises of God, all the powers of heaven that Jesus Christ, as I've just talked to you about, has put at our very disposal to be used in the church. Number two, it also signifies, doesn't just signify access, but it also signifies authority. Authority through what? Authority through the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Again, we can do nothing outside of Christ. It gives us authority through the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Jeff, over all things. That's powerful. I've been praying for some time, and I'm still praying, that God will show me. Let me say this first, and you'll understand. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. I did the math on it, Brother Mike. Three can put 100 million to flight. And four, when you try to put it on the calculator, it immediately goes to infinity. Can't be calculated. Four. So I've been praying for three men that really has the burden on their heart that would be willing to meet with me at least once a week here at the church in prayer, seeking the face of God for God to move in this church. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing, and I rejoice every time I pray. I say, Lord, bless my brothers in other states and all the other churches, but I'm tired of hearing of all these other places, the power of God being poured out, and nothing's going on here. I'm tired of that. And He's the same God everywhere. He's the same God in Fairborn that He is in Georgia, and that He is in Florida, and everywhere else. And so that's me. You got to do you, but I'm praying, God, show me three men that are sincere that will not just say they want to do it, but they really want to do it and meet here once a week in prayer and fasting for our church, because it is meant for the church to have these keys. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And these signs shall follow them that believe. But I'm here to tell you, church, it ain't going to happen when we don't pray like we should, when we don't fast like we should. We're no better than those early brothers and those early sisters who all met up in an upper room and tarried until the Holy Ghost came on the scene. And so anyway, I just kind of wanted to put that out there. But we have the authority through and by the name of Jesus Christ over all things, but it comes at a heavy price. I remember I was preaching a couple weeks ago where the disciples came to Jesus privately and He said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? And you remember Jesus' response, because this kind can't go out but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So these are the things that all these keys we just talked about, what they signify: access, authority, and insight.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Change me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. 'cause I'm here to sing.